Divided Kingdom, your cutting-edge news program since 2003. Mr. and Mrs. America, that's Luke Caverly, and I, Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly, have been bringing you our program, and we've been answering God's call as found in Ezekiel 33. Our voices of witness to Jesus Christ and warnings to stand against Satan's kingdom as it tries to take over the whole world come to you in the following venues: WWCR.com and WWCR Shortwave, Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on 4.840 megahertz, repeating on 7.490 megahertz, Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Eastern, and on Mondays at 4 p.m. on 9.350. We can also be heard on the new network, KingdomStarTalkRadio.com. Check it out. Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, KStarTalkRadio.com, and Global Star. Consult their sites for days and times. And we must let you know, listeners, that we deeply appreciate from the bottoms of our hearts the way you've been stepping up, a few of you, to help us stay on the air in this very financially challenging time. And some of you out there might like to know that October 2nd, it's coming up soon, Lou.
Yes, that's right.
It is his Jack Benny's 39th birthday. No, we're not going to say his real birthday right at this time, but let's put it this way. We are both over 50 years old. So at any rate, if any of you would like to help us out, you could send Lou a card if you like to. And if any of you can help us financially, we've said our little blurb often enough that you know that you can write a check to WWCR. That would be very helpful. You could write a check to Global Star Communications. Right now, we do need WWCR a little bit more. You can put some cash. That would be very, very helpful to us at this time into an envelope. And you can mail whatever you can mail to Lou, capital L-O-U, capital C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Caverly, at Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And Bethlehem is spelled capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. And again, the P.O. Box is 28. And so now we had given you a long series there of summer shocks / secrets. And these were snapshots of our leaders, of people in America, good and bad. So now our last September headline snapshot in this series is a biggie. This is a biggie emergency alert. And we do want to tell you that the last four monologues are very, very crucial. The information that your family needs to survive, mostly with the vaccine issue, but really with some of the geoengineering from the work of Dane Whittington. So you will want to tell others. We pray that you will feel led to tell others to go to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Again, that's DividedKingdomRadio.com. And there, under Breaking News, you will find, I think it might say latest headlines, something like that. You will find these latest essays, including the newest one tonight. You can also tell people to go there to our listening archives and hear the past programs. And we note that this monologue is for September 29th. Ding, ding, ding. 2 + 9 = 11. Yes, Judgment Day. One of our listeners had some additional information. I believe this was our Canadian. One of our Canadian listeners talked about there are other qualities inherent in that number 11, and that is some chaos. You see, the evils that really result when judgment falls. So all of these are sort of inherent, and I think in that number, it will be appropriate when Lou reads this monologue to you. And we ask, will America repent enough for its leaders in politics and in the church to finally expose these deepest horrors of evil? Will you, listeners, pray for God to stop these laboratories of hell.
Summoning up death. Are we being duped to believe monkeypox is only a harmless gay men's disease? Radio Monologue, September 29th, 2022. Lou Carrolly. Like the witches in Macbeth, today's mad scientists have been conjuring up their own deadly brew of ingredients. Dr. Arianna Love, appearing on the Stu Peters Show on September 19th, has summed up the way the newest, rumored to be coming soon, plandemic was developed. COVID-19 is no longer in the news. Now the hype is from monkeypox. According to Dr. Love, Anthony Fauci, the National Institutes of Health, NIH, and the Centers for Disease Control, CDC, have been hard at work creating this new pathogen. It combines four biological weapons: H1N1, associated with smallpox, H5N1, which causes bird flu, H5N2, which causes diarrhea, H7N1 from ostriches. These are highly transmissible pathogens combined together. This has produced what is now being termed, quote, monkeypox, unquote. Smallpox was said to have been eradicated in 1980, yet these intrepid researchers took the H1N1 from corpses, according to the NIH website. No doubt, it was some of these researchers who created what Dr. Judy Mikovits called a synthetic virus by using nucleic acid sequences. Pieces of DNA were combined to create a, quote, chemical biological weapon, unquote. And this is Lou interjecting. Here at the Divided Kingdom, we recall mainstream articles some years back. These articles documented teams of scientists going to the far north to exhume long-dead bodies to extract Spanish flu specimens for, quote-unquote, research. On page 455 of the book The Great Influenza by John M. Barry from Penguin Books, 2004, it states, quote, more evidence against the 1916 origin comes from the scientists Jeffrey Taubenberger and Peter Pallese. Taubenberger is sequencing the genome of the 1918 virus after extracting samples of it from Alaska and the Army's pathology, quote, museum, unquote. And back to the article, a technique called serial passage was utilized. First, they took smallpox, which only affects humans, and adapted it to infect monkeys. Then they used gain of function to create a stronger variant that would, once again, infect humans. This is the new improved monkeypox. The history of this kind of research is clear. In 2009, Chinese scientists mixed human and animal pathogens to get new bioweapons. An Israeli Mossad scientist, Joseph Moshe, revealed to the public that a new bioweapon was about to be launched. Moshe is reported to have been, called in to a radio show in 2009 and stated that he had information that researchers in a Baxter biopharmaceutical lab in Ukraine had produced a bioweapon using H1N1 virus from the Spanish flu of 1918. Moshe was arrested 2 days later, and he seems to have been missing ever since. In September 2011, an announcement was made at a conference in Malta that the scientists had achieved human-to-human transmission of this new pathogen. In 2012, Anthony Fauci developed H7N9. By 2014, the NIH was getting 250 active research grants on H5N1 and H1N1. They were also able to get the pathogen to be transmissible in droplets. Also in 2014, China was able to make the pathogen significantly more transmissible. In 2016, Dr. Fauci wanted to patent and develop human smallpox using monkeys. The World Health Organization, WHO, turned him down, so he turned to China. Going back even further than the years on Dr. Love's list, 2009 to 2016, I, Lou Carrolly, found this informative and strangely prophetic short internet blurb. I got it from the internet in early June of 2002. It was on an amazing day that Almighty God helped me find about 50 pages of cutting-edge info on 9/11, mainly from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania newspapers, concerning the real truth of Flight 93. God also handed over to me lots more info for Elizabeth Cubitt Caraballi's two Patriots Warning books, America Attacked and Chaos and Chemtrails. The strangely prescient item of info was from Patricia Doyle, Ph.D., entitled 621 Microbiologists Get Smallpox Vaccinations, 1994 to 2001, dated June 14, 2002. Doyle commented, 621 microbiologists working on dangerous viruses, that's in quotes, dangerous viruses, were vaccinated against smallpox during 1994 to 2001. Why would a smallpox vaccine be used to prevent lab exposure if they were not working with smallpox or monkeypox? The disease supposedly safely eradicated and virus safely tucked away in Russia and United States. Why did they need smallpox vaccine? Maybe they have been playing with smallpox all along and not obeying the treaties in place. No doubt the result of all this hidden preparation is the new monkeypox. We see that the appearance of this new version of an old disease is no accident. It is the carefully planned and meticulously created brainchild of a number of researchers whose goal is to impose new and devastating pandemics upon humanity. Unless they are stopped, the first commandment of the late Georgia Guidestones may well be achieved. The world population will be reduced from 7.8 billion down to 500 million, a decrease of 94%. Don't let it happen.
Yes, Lou, the globalist depopulation attacks on us have varied in all kinds of avenues. And besides death in the lab that you, Lou, have outlined so well, the possible next pandemic, there is a concerted effort to bring down every economy in the world. This is LifeSite News, Wednesday, August 24th, 2022. Global leaders are manufacturing an economic crisis to pursue their, quote, climate change goals. The outcome we are currently feeling is an intentional economic contraction and global recession, and this came from Alexander Astinoff, excuse me, I believe his name is Stimes, and from Shutterstock, and it was picked up by LifeSite News. As a result of Western governments taking drastic collective action under the auspices of a, quote, climate change addenda, we are on the cusp of witnessing something happening with ramifications that no one has ever seen before. Western governments, specifically Western Europe, North America, U.S., Canada, and Australia/New Zealand, are intentionally trying to lower economic activity to meet the intentional drop in energy production. This is the core consequence of the Build Back Better BBB agenda as promoted by the World Economic Forum. There is no precedent for nations to collectively and intentionally attempt to reduce their economic activity in this way. Hiding behind the false justification that current inflation is driven by too much demand, central banks in Europe, the Bank of England, Bank of Canada, and U.S. Federal Reserve are raising interest rates. The outcome we are currently feeling is an intentional economic contraction and global recession. And I have to interject here, Elizabeth Cubitt Caraballi, again, to warn you that we have heard that the Vatican has called home all monies within the Roman Catholic Church. Anything affiliated with the Roman Catholic Church is going home to Rome. And we also know that the Rothschilds, those Illuminati banker types, have always been called the guardian of the Vatican Bank. So we can know that Captain Daryl Eberhardt's theory, not theory, but his research, has always indicated a strong Jesuit component. So we can see these big, big forces are joining together, and they're planning something. So all of you should be ready, I have to say again, store up food, Think about your survival. Do you have enough flashlights? That's a simple thing. But do you have the batteries? Try to meet with each other and think about what you need. Now, back to this planned kind of economic takedown. Many people have discussed the potential for longer-term food storages, shortages. Pardon me. You know, that was a little Freudian slip. Lou, we can hope that people will concentrate more on the word to prepare and not the deprivation that's coming.
Yes, that's so true. We need to do that.
Yes, and recently, the article says, shorter-term winter heating. However, beyond that, the downstream geopolitical consequences are seemingly being ignored. Instead, what we see is an effort to keep pretending the climate change ends will justify the means disruption of energy production. In this connected world, when the Western nations stop buying things, we find ourselves domestically with economic trouble. We interject again there, Lou. We are going to talk a little bit more about this probably later, but we've been hearing some of these big retailers like Walmart, their sales are falling dramatically because people's purses are emptying.
Yes, that's right.
Can you comment anything there? Any other news that you heard about that?
Well, just in general, that people are retrenching. They're having to use their money for necessities of life. They can no longer buy luxury items. They can't buy things that they just want to have. They have to buy things they must have.
The bread and circuses.
Exactly.
Are not going to get
it. Maybe not the circuses, just the bread.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. And the rent,
that
the mortgage, all of these things that are coming due. You and I certainly know this very, very well.
Yes.
Under this time of personal stress. So unemployment rises, the article says. Financial stress ripples throughout the economy. Dependency on government subsidy increases, and real pain is felt. However, beyond the domestic issues, the supplier nations run into even bigger problems. Unemployment in Malaysia, Vietnam, South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, and even China creates an entirely different set of regional stability issues on a geopolitical level. There is no precedent for this. Never before in the history of industrialized nations has any government intentionally tried to lower its economic activity. It has never been done with intent before, because within the contraction, nations get poorer and people suffer. In North America, U.S., Canada, Europe, and Australia, there will continue to be massive increases in food prices as a result of the collapse in energy production. Beyond the Western nations, there will be food shortages as a result of lowered harvest yields and less industrial food production. It is also not a contested point that regions with harsh winter climates are going to be paying much more for scarce heating resources. And I'm interjecting there, please pray for those people in Germany and in Europe who are victims of this engineered Ukraine war situation. It's really the depopulation people. Now, back to the article. That being accepted, what happens geopolitically, even militarily, when the entire global economy starts to feel the impacts from Western nation economic contraction on a scale created by collective action that has never been seen before? Political leadership in the aforementioned Western nations is seemingly, perhaps intentionally, keeping people distracted with domestic shiny things to occupy time.
Not everybody is going to be able to relax and play with toys. We have this article from WorldNet Daily. It was originally in the Daily Call of News Foundation, August 24th, 2022, by Jack McAvoy. At least 20 million American households, or one out of every six homes, are behind on their electric bills as skyrocketing energy prices persist across the nation, according to Bloomberg. The energy crisis is causing record numbers of late utility payments among low-income households, resulting in billions of dollars in overdue utility bills. Bloomberg reported, citing data from the National Energy Assistance Directors Association, NEADA. NEADA says this is the worst crisis that the association has ever documented, and as a result, many power companies are shutting off customers' power, meaning that many low-income households will lose access to electricity amid rampant heat waves. Electricity prices in the U.S. have recently soared due to inflation, the increasing cost of fossil fuels, such as natural gas, coal, and crude oil, and the high demand for electricity as people move to cool their homes during the summer months. The overall index for all electricity costs increased by 0.7% in July, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The price of natural gas, which fuels about 40% of U.S. electricity, jumped to its highest level since 2008 on Tuesday. Additionally, U.S. and EU sanctions on Russian energy imports following its invasion of Ukraine have reduced the global supply of fuel, making electricity more expensive. The backlog of unpaid bills could even affect customers who can still afford the utility bills, as state regulators frequently permit utilities to make up their losses by charging customers who are paying their bills more or by having taxpayers foot the bill, according to Bloomberg. The Biden administration is attempting to address high energy costs through policies outlined in the $369 billion Green Energy and Climate Bill, investing heavily in green energy initiatives. The administration is also blocking both green energy and fossil fuel developments, which could drive down prices. And now we have from Zero Hedge, the headline, rent problems escalate for small business owners. 40% can't pay. This is by Value Walk, Wednesday, August 24th. Alignable's August rent report is out today. And unfortunately, rent problems among small businesses, SMBs, have just broken a new record for 2022. Some 40% of small business owners could not pay their August rent on time and in full, up 6% from July. Prior to this, the highest rent delinquency rate in 2022 was 35%. Beyond that, the 40% rent delinquency rate is the highest in nearly 18 months, reflecting all the forces hindering the recovery of many small businesses. These insights are based on Alignable's latest poll conducted from August 13, 2022 to August 23rd. Among 7,331 randomly selected small business owners. Also in that survey, only 23% say they've fully recovered to their pre-COVID revenue levels, down 2% from July. This is the worst monthly recovery rate we've tracked in the past year. Here are some other highlights from Alignable's August rent report. 45% say they're paying at least 50% more in rent than they did prior to COVID. 24% have landlords doubling their rent. 12% say they're paying three times more. Rent issues are even worse for minority-owned firms, as 53% of their owners say they couldn't afford August rent, up 4% from July. Most industries saw an increase in rent delinquency rates, with agriculture 52%, nonprofits 46%, restaurants 46%, automotive 44%, education 44%, and travel lodging 44%, topping the list for August. 40% of small businesses in real estate are in the same situation, doubling their delinquency rate since April, when it was 20%. Regarding the states, 55% of small businesses in Colorado, 53% in Illinois, 52% in Georgia, 44% in California, 44% in New York, and 40% in Texas couldn't pay their August rent in full on time. These are the states suffering the worst, or the most, from SMB rent problems. On the opposite end of the spectrum, Massachusetts and Pennsylvania were the only states seeing an improvement in rent issues from July to August. For Canadians, the situation is even more severe than it is in the U.S., with 40% unable to pay, make that 48%, unable to pay August rent, up 11% from 37% in July. In terms of provinces, Ontario is the highest with 51% unable to afford rent, up 15% from July, when the rent delinquency rate was just 36%.
Yes, Lou, the New World Order has designs to weaken the middle class, making them too poor to pay exorbitant rent. And those small businesses that you're talking about, they want to crush them. And then there is the matter of systemic food supply sabotage. Here's a headline, September 12th, from Natural News, written by Ethan Huff. Anti-animal food terrorists are vandalizing milk processing centers, disrupting food supply, and worsening global famine. To fight the cruel and destructive practice of animal farming, a terrorist group called, quote, Animal Rebellion, is reportedly vandalizing milk processing centers all throughout the United Kingdom in pursuit of a, quote, plant-based future. Circulating video footage shows members of the Animal Rebellion terrorist organization, most of whom appear to be younger white females, blasting white spray paint all over the wall and fence of a company in Great Britain that produces milk and dairy products for consumers. Why is the government continuing to funnel money into an industry that has continuously proven to be both economically and environmentally unsustainable? Animal farming is cruel and destructive, said one Twitter user, member of this group, Animal Rebellion. Another said, quote, We are here asking the most important question facing the British public today. What is she going to do about the current climate and ecological emergency? We want her to invest in a plant-based future. The woman went on in the video to claim that animal agriculture, including fishing, is the, quote, leading cause of the climate crisis. This despite the fact that humanity has been fishing and raising animals since pretty much the beginning of time. In the background, as the woman is speaking, scenes show members of Animal Rebellion lying down in the streets with banners, signs, and clothing demanding a plant-based future. If these half-crazed young women, and this is Elizabeth commenting, aren't part of the organized Great Reset sabotage of food and fuel facilities, remember, listeners, we reported about a week ago on the fire and the explosion at the BP Ohio refinery, the oil refinery. Then if they aren't part of that organized system of takedown, these women are nitwits, so brainwashed, they're reprobate mind robots.
Yes, Elizabeth, and September 25th headline also makes us want to find out, eventually, whether this was NWO planned arson. The headline from the Western Journal, Smoke Blots Out the Sun, As Aggressive Fire Consumes the World's Largest Food Market, by Michael Austin, September 25th, 2022. On Sunday, the smoke from a fire that broke out in Paris literally brought it out blotted out the sun. According to the Associated Press, the fire took place at a warehouse in a produce market, wherein many such warehouses are packed full of different kinds of food. Over 12,000 people work in the market. Pictures and videos of the fire on social media show the massive column of smoke it has produced. In one such video, the tower of smoke is even blotting out the sun for those behind it. According to the Associated Press, emergency responders have warned people in the area to stay far away from the fire. As many as 100 officers and 30 fire engines are being utilized to battle the blaze. A representative from the Paris Fire Service maintains that no one was injured and the responders have been able to bring the fire under control, the Associated Press reported. The cause of the blaze is, as of yet, unknown.
This is Elizabeth. Lou, something interesting happened because you tried to get a second longer article. Now, note, listeners, this article concluded with the cause is yet unknown, but you seem to have been obstructed, weren't you, trying to get the other article?
Yes, I was. I did the exact thing I always do, getting these from the internet, but when I went to bring it back up on my computer, it said there was some little glitch. Now, I got perhaps at the same time, I don't know, maybe 15 or 20 other articles. Not one of the others had the slightest difficulty.
So we have to really keep our eyes on this to whether we find out more later. Now, a key part of this Great Reset, so-called Great Reset, is the planned end of fossil fuel. And this might be the end of you, listeners. To starve, to freeze, or both, while you can't pay to live in your home. This is Worldwide, WorldNetDaily.com. Dark Ages feared to be returning to Europe, and America also increasingly reliant on unstable energy by Bob Unruh. A senior counsel, and this was September 8th, a senior counsel and director of policy for the American Center for Law and Justice, a longtime advocate for civil and religious rights, is warning that circumstances are looking grim for Europe. In fact, Harry G. Hutchison, who has served as law professor at the Antonin Scalia Law School, said in an online commentary, there could be another dark age because of the coming collapse of energy resources. Quote, last week, approximately 70,000 people filled Wenceslas Square in the center of the Czech capital in Prague. This follows the Italian government's collapse, the Argentinian government's looming collapse, the implosion of the government of Sri Lanka, and the farmers' revolt over soaring energy and nitrogen prices in the Netherlands, all of which seem sparked by the so-called Green Revolution, he said. This week, the International Atomic Energy Agency announced that Ukraine's nuclear plant, the largest nuclear facility in Europe, has suffered damage as part of the Russian-Ukrainian war. Last week, the Russian energy giant Gazprom announced that it would not recommence European gas deliveries through the Nord Stream 1 pipeline. Further, he said, French officials have cited, quote, the end of abundance. Germans are forecasting the cost of electricity might rise 200%, and 60% of Britain's factories may fail, crushed by exploding energy prices. He said, quote, this backdrop recalls the European Dark Ages during the medieval period. But he warned, too, that America isn't much better off. It's increasingly, quote, reliant on unstable energy sources such as wind and solar power, prompted by a, quote, misplaced focus on climate change and green energy. Quote, these moves displace ultra-stable energy sources like nuclear, coal, and natural gas. This means blackouts in California in the summer and grid blackouts in Texas in the winter after a cold snap caused wind turbines to fail, thus triggering a chain reaction that knocked out the Texas grid for days, killing at least 200 people and costing around $300 billion. Why all this? First, Western hubris is exemplified by President Biden's decision to kill the Keystone Pipeline on the first day of his presidency. Lou, we have to interject. Doesn't that look deliberate?
Oh, there's no question about it. He is out to destroy this country's energy system.
And not just he, the puppet, the group above him. Second, and back to the article, and second, his knuckleheaded decision to give up American energy independence and throw American energy workers out of work in favor of gaining popularity with the World Economic Forum, WEF, with its focus on shrinking the world population from 6 to 7 billion people down to the goal of 500 million. At the same time, elites, after fawning over the possibilities associated with a green energy revolution, travel in private jets, emitting tons of carbon, he pointed out. He cited Germany as an example of the, quote, limited intellectual effort being used today. Quote, in a transparent attempt to engage in virtue signaling, Germany almost halted natural gas production in its country, which has vast gas reserves. So now Germany, like much of Europe, imports its gas from Russia, from Qatar, and from the United States, while leaving its own gas in the ground. Now, again, Lou, we have to comment, this is by design. Trump had us completely independent with our gas and oil. So the same thing, the takeover is getting rid of the nation states. That's what we see the global government is trying to form. Back to this article and these wise comments by Harry G. Hutchison. He then says, meanwhile, Germany's foreign minister has announced that Germany will support Ukraine no matter what my voters think. This is not democracy. This is rule by smug autocrats on the way to totalitarianism, with which Germans are all too familiar. The foreign minister's attitude of moral superiority should be familiar to Americans, who looked on with disgust as the German delegation laughed at President Trump's warning at the United Nations. He suggested that they would rue the day they gave up their energy and dependence to Russia. Doubtlessly, Vladimir Putin of Russia is laughing now. He warned the result is that UK consumers probably will see an 80% hike in energy bills this winter, with more increases later. Meanwhile, he said Joe Biden is dividing the nation and attacking conservatives, meaning it will be up to voters.
And now we have more from the National File. German security officials warn of mass civil unrest over government-engineered fuel crisis. By Frankie Stokes, August 16, 2022. German security officials are warning of the prospect of mass civil unrest this fall and winter, as citizens of the European nation are expected to go cold, or worse, amidst a government-engineered fuel crisis. Germany's left-wing government is already taking steps to limit energy use in public spaces, largely at the expense of the population, including by cutting off streetlights at night. Chancellor Olaf Scholz is calling the fuel crisis his government has helped cause a, quote, powder keg for society, unquote. Germany's energy crisis comes as the nation, which sits atop the liberal EU power structure, has taken a hard-line globalist position against Russia's recent incursion into contested Ukrainian territory. The government's actions, which largely consist of sanctions and international bad-mouthing, have come at the expense of the German people and others in the EU, as European governments have relied on Russian oil and other fuels to power their comfortable societies, all while lamenting the fossil fuel industry and stifling domestic energy production of their own. Next, from Natural News, states are emulating California's clean air mandate by banning gas-powered vehicles. This is by Bell Carter, September 12th. Several states are following California's example of banning gas-powered vehicles in favor of electric vehicles, EVs. Oregon and Washington are set to follow the Golden State's ban. The Beaver State revised its Advanced Clean Cars 2 order to include a ban on gas-powered cars by 2035. Meanwhile, the Evergreen State said it will adopt a version of California's ban by the end of 2022. Over at the East Coast, New York Governor Kathy Hochul signed Senate Bill S-2758 in 2021. The proposal effectively banned gas-powered vehicle sales by implementing a, quote, zero-emission, unquote, in-state sales goal of 100% by 2035. Other states like Delaware, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Nevada have regulations requiring a certain percentage of vehicles sold to be zero emission by a specific date. Some others, however, pushed back against the outright ban on cars that run on diesel and gasoline. Maine Governor Janet Mills said on August 30th that she does not support the ban. She added that the Pine Tree State would not be included to adopt any mandate along those lines. Instead, Mills suggested that both EVs and rebates should be available, but not a mandate. Virginia is exploring legal options to resist, while Rhode Island is not yet required to ban gas-powered vehicles, as two bills filed for that purpose in its legislature were held for further study. In Minnesota, the prohibition is facing legal action as the Minnesota Auto Dealers Association, MADA, challenged it in 2020. MADA filed a complaint with the State Court of Appeals, arguing that the law improperly delegates the state's authority to the California Air Resources Board, CARB. However, experts say significant investments in grid infrastructures will need to happen to make these electric cars a reality. Says Jack Brower, quote, the grid does not currently have the capability to add millions of battery, electric, or even fuel cell electric vehicles today. And that was from Jack Brower, a professor of mechanical and aerospace engineering at UCI. And we have from Natural News, the electric vehicle entrepreneur struggles to find charging station for his car during the road trip. And I'll interject, just how well is Joe Q Public going to be able to withstand this great reset of electric vehicle patsy making out? This is by Arsenio Toledo, Friday, September 9th. Jason Wild, founder of an electric vehicle subscription service called Evoke, had a hard time finding an electric vehicle charging station for his car during a recent road trip. On August 25th, Wild and his partner started a 2,000-mile journey through Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and back to the company's headquarters in Portland, Oregon. They drove using a 2022 Hyundai Kona Electric, and they documented their entire journey on a series of short TikTok videos. The problem started on day 4 of the trip when the Evoke founder and his partner made the way to a charging station near Butte, Montana. They noted that electric vehicle charging infrastructure is notably decreasing as they drove further east in the state. On day 5 of the road trip, they arrived in Bozeman, where they spent the night. They left their car charging for 10 hours overnight. When they woke up, the car had only gained about 20% more power. The Audi dealership, and this is in quotes, the Audi dealership fast charger that we're at, the only fast charger in the entire town, is the most expensive one we've hit to date. $25 an hour, he said. And it says related, go green, get broke. Test finds new electric Hummer costs over $100 to charge, more than it costs to fill up most gas tanks. And back to the quote, the article, he added that this was 5 to 6 times more expensive than any other charging station he has hit. But then he claimed that it's, quote, still cheaper than gasoline, unquote. Despite Wild's bias toward electric cars, even he admitted that they are not for everyone. According to the Billings, Montana Gazette, there are only around 58 electric vehicle charging stations in the entire state of Montana that have sufficient charging capacity. These charging stations are located in just 26 towns and cities. Of these 26 places, 15 have only one charging station. And let me just interject. This is Lou speaking. What would it be like if you had only one gas station in a fair-sized little town? I think people would be in long lines. But now,
back to the Jimmy Carter years.
Yes, I remember that.
With a new twist.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that. That gives my age away, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, Jack Benny, remember.
That's right, 39.
But
yes.
Go ahead.
Back to the article. 10 of the municipalities in Montana have at least one electric vehicle charging station. But certain constraints prevent these stations from being utilized to their full extent. The town of Glasgow, for example, isn't able to accommodate electric vehicle owners charging their cars during peak hours. Brandon Whitman, CEO of Yellowstone Valley Electric Cooperative, just outside of Billings in south-central Montana, recently purchased an electric vehicle for the co-op's motor pool. But he noted that this purchase may have been short-sighted as the company can bring it further east. Wrote Tom Ludi for the Billings Gazette, simply put, there are hundreds of miles across Montana where accommodations for electric vehicles are sparser than cell phone service. Again, that's by Tom Ludi for the Billings Gazette.
And now, Lou, we're going to bump the order a little bit because we really are concentrating on some of these planned demolitions of our food and our oil and so forth and so on. What's the title of your 5B article?
5B. Let me check on that. I have Global Financial Collapse, a Mathematical Certainty Within 2 Years, former BlackRock manager says.
You'll hold that a moment. I think we will get to that perhaps next. And I think we will go ahead with that now.
Okay. And this was from LifeSite News by Joseph Mercola, Dr. Joseph Mercola, Monday, September 12th, 2022. Story at a glance. And we have a note. I should read that, too, I think. Note from LifeSite News President Steve Jalcevic. No, I don't think that's pertinent. Let me skip down to the main story.
And Dr. Mercola is a very famous doctor of natural health.
That's right. And this has some of the main points. This is a long article. These are some of the main points at a glance. Edward Dowd is a hedge fund guru and former equity portfolio manager for the largest asset manager in the world, BlackRock. Over the past 2 years, Dowd has courageously come forward to awaken people to the collateral damage of the COVID-19 pandemic. A global financial collapse is a mathematical certainty. Dowd predicts the collapse will begin in earnest within the next 6 to 24 months. COVID-19 provided cover for central banks and governments, allowing them to temporarily hide the reality that the financial system is crashing. COVID-19 also allowed for the erection of a control system to shield governments and central banks from the fallout of collapsing food, energy and finance systems. Those all go together, collapsing food, energy, and finance systems. It allowed them to restrict travel and introduce digital IDs and central bank digital currencies by linking them together with vaccine passports. Insurance companies report a 40% increase in excess mortality among working-age adults during the fourth quarter of 2021. Millennials ages 25 to 44 had an 84% increase in excess mortality in that same time frame. Since the rollout of the COVID-19 jabs, the number of Americans who claim to be disabled has risen by at least 10%, possibly more. And that's the end of that selection.
And, Lou, we again advise our listeners to pray for their relatives, their friends who have taken these shots. Please tell them to go to DivinedKingdomRadio.com to read our latest essays there under breaking news, because you don't want to see them getting boosters and more things with the bivalent new vaccines. So much is happening. But now we're focusing again here on the food situation. And this is Thursday, August 25th, Natural News by Ethan Huff. Half of Germany's 2022 harvest expected to fail due to drought. Now, Lou, this goes back to your article a few weeks back, too, Earth Under Siege, the story of the weather modification, the engineered droughts to help make this starvation a reality. So do go to DividedKingdomRadio.com and find those essays. So Natural News says, in parts of Germany, drought conditions are so dire that farmers expect to lose up to half of all their crops come fall. The Germany state of Baden-Württemberg has been particularly hard hit, not only by lack of rain, but also by lack of energy and fertilizer. Related, the Rhine River is now so low that goods are not making their way through this critical supply route. As usual, it is Vladimir Putin's fault, we are told, because Germany would be a utopian paradise by now had the Russian president avoided invading Ukraine and upsetting the deep state's operations there. By the time autumn arrives, upwards of 50% of Germany's maize or corn, sugar beets, I think that that's a sugar beet. Sugar beet, yes. Potato and soybean crops could fail, which could be devastating for both the country and its export recipients. If there is no heavy rainfall in the near future, we expect considerable harvest losses of up to 50% for almost all crops, says State Farmer President Joachim Ruckveed. As grasses dry up, cattle farmers are having to feed them scarce winter supplies of feed. It is not just crop farmers that are suffering, but also cattle farmers. Under normal conditions, livestock across Germany would be eating grasses during this time of year. But because of the drought, grasses everywhere are dying. As a result, farmers are having to feed their livestock grains that are meant to be kept for the winter, depleting already scarce supplies due to ongoing supply chain issues. And then, as a follow-up here, an interesting little article. This was back in July from WorldNet Daily. This was published July 9th, 2022. UN deletes article on benefits of world hunger. This was from Valiant News, picked up by WND. The UN has removed a satirical article from its website that detailed the benefits of world hunger after its discovery sparked an online backlash. The article entitled "The Benefits of World Hunger" was written by Professor George Kent from the University of Hawaii. Originally published in June 2008, the article was more recently reposted to the UN's Chronicle magazine. We sometimes talk about hunger in the world as if it were a scourge that all of us want to see abolished, Kent wrote, adding that hunger was actually, quote, a great positive value to many people. Indeed, it is fundamental to the working of the world's economy. Hungry people are the most productive people, especially when there is a need for manual labor. We have to ask ourselves, this was said to be a satirical article. Now, does this sound satirical to you? Real satire means that the writer writes the opposite of what he means. In other words, it's like satirical writer Jonathan Swift, who was born in England in 1667. He was famous for his work Gulliver's Travels, and he also wrote the satire in, quote, "A Modest Proposal," end of quote, which on the surface seemed to cheerfully endorse eating children in order to improve dire economic conditions in Britain at that time. And it was supposed to improve people that they wouldn't be starving. You see, they could eat the children. Now, it was very evident that the intent under Jonathan Swift's writing was really to point out the hideous injustices done to the poor by the elite powers of his day. It wasn't really that he was advocating eating the children. Now, is this a little different from this article that the UN deleted? Did this sound to you, listeners, like the voice of satire? Someone who really underneath was appalled that people were going hungry? Or was it a rather demonic chortle that people are going to be done in? This quote, satirical Professor Kent licking his lips while he advocates for hungry people who have the power to work harder. No, we think that's not real satire, but these are real things going on in this world, and we have to bring some of this out. Actually, there was another article. I don't know. We may have a little time to get to this. Lou, you were reporting on the SWAT teams, the FBI, surrounding Mike Lindell of MyPillow and confiscating his phone illegally. And we were looking back at the earlier time, the SWAT on Marjorie Taylor Greene, the congressional person. And we'll have more about this update next week with a pro-life man and his children, the horrors of that. Can you find that article about Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Yes, I can.
Let's go into that.
WorldNet Daily. It's entitled, "Member of Congress Reports Second SWAT Attack in 2 Days."
And this happened when?
Well, this was published August 25th, so
okay.
Right around that time.
All right.
This is by Bob Unruh of WorldNet Daily. "For the second time in 2 days, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia has reported that she was the target of a swatting attack. That's when someone calls police and reports violence, often extreme violence, being done at an address of another person, often a political enemy. The threats are serious, as police special tactics teams often arrive at the scene armed, expecting gunfire resistance. Innocent people and officers have been badly injured in such situations." The Business Insider reported Greene, just a day after reporting an early morning Wednesday attack, said that there was another. Quote, "swatting again last night," unquote, she said on social media. Fox 5 Atlanta reported reporter Claire Sims, noted the Rome Police Department confirmed officers responded to a call at Greene's home shortly before 3 a.m. on Thursday, saying the call was, quote, received on what appeared to be a suicide crisis line, unquote. Police say the investigation is ongoing. A report on MSN said two officers responded at 2:53 a.m. about a, quote, male possibly shooting his family members and then himself, unquote. The report said the suspect called through an internet chat that appeared to be a suicide crisis line. The caller reportedly said, quote, if anyone tried to stop me from shooting myself, I will shoot them, unquote. Just a day earlier, police reported that the first attack apparently was by someone enraged over the representative Green's views on the ideology of transgenderism. Green said, quote, I was swatted just after 1 a.m. I can't express enough gratitude to my local law enforcement here in Rome, Floyd County, unquote. The first incident, according to Rome Police, was at 1:03 a.m. Wednesday, and, quote, officers responded to a 911 call reference to a subject being shot multiple times at an address within the city limits. When officers responded, they discovered this was the home of Marjorie Taylor Greene. She assured the officers there was no issue, and the call was determined to be a false call, commonly known as swatting, unquote. The caller, who obviously intended injury, then called back, confirming he or she was upset about Green's politics on transgenderism's ideology while using a computer-generated voice. Green's response, quote, if this is the war the left wants, this is the war the left will get, she said on social media. I will never stop protecting children and defending their innocence. We have to immediately pass H.R. 8731, the Protect Children's Innocence Act, to end the mutilation of kids. I don't care what political party you are. This is evil. This is not okay. And I will find out who swatted my house, and I will do everything in my power to bring them to justice, said Mrs. Green.
Let's contrast her with some other people who are advocating for Dr. Mehmet Oz to become a Pennsylvania senator, and you exposed this so well with the LifeSite article, and I think another article too, is connections with a spiritual advisor who was sent to prison for raping a number of children, I believe, or people, and of course his connections with the infamous Dr. Garofalo, who removed the breasts of a girl who was about 15. So, you know, you have to make these decisions out there, whether you're going to vote for anyone at certain times, whether you're going to vote for another person other than a person who did these things, his accomplice, we might say, his associate, featuring these things. You have a lot to think about. And so, Lou, we're going to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you.
Anyone who wants to help out can send you something at Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Good night.